Well, this is June the 1st, right? 1999. And I'm here at Sandy Parker's house with her mother,
Dolores McCormick,
who was in the graduating class of Beloit High with me, and her name at that point was Dolores
Kitzrow.
Mm-hmm. And I'm here because the Parker family lived next to door, or close to, Esther in her later years, and this is a time that I know very little about and that the family doesn't seem to know very little about. So I'm here to ask them what they remember. Okay, I've just told in condensed form the 40 or 50 page story of Esther. And so now it's Dolores, right, mm-hmm. is saying that that there was a Peters, or a former Peters, that used to visit Granny, as you called her?
Yeah, we called her Granny.
And we would guess it would have to have been, if it was a former Peters, it was probably Leora or Georgia. And Georgia was the one that was closest in age to Esther.
Over next to Esther in 1970.
In 1970, and she died in 1974, about?
About that, yes.
Yeah, I've got it written down, but I didn't bring it with me.
I don't think she was to your wedding, but remember she brought all those gifts and that to you early.
Yeah.
In March, and then, but she wasn't to your wedding.
Well, we knew her. She was like Granny. And she was always,
well, she just took to, well, I had four girls, and she just loved them.
Mm-hmm. You had four girls?
Uh-huh.
So you had three sisters?
Three younger.
Uh-huh.
And the babe, Lori, was just a baby, a year old.
Mm-hmm. And over next door to her.
Yeah, she named her Lulabelle. Her name was Lori Jo, and then she was Lulabelle. And
she just took to all the girls and treated them so nice, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, was she living by herself at that point?
Yes, mm-hmm. Her and her two poodles.
Buffy and Tuffy,
okay.
Mm-hmm. And
so she was showering affection on you kids.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Uh-huh. And then how soon did she marry after?
We moved over in 69. I don't even know how she met Cliff.
Do you? Walt Durst used to always come.
Yeah.
Walt Durst from over at Chopier?
Yeah. They were...
Why not? I mean, I won't write it, but...
He moved her from Arizona. Granny must have been out to Arizona.
Yeah.
And he moved her back to Beloit. And that's, I think, when she moved to the mobile home park. And I don't know if she thought something was going to...
Well, he never... He was married, but yet he would never break that up. And did his wife die or something?
No.
And then he married some other lady out of the
Granny,
blue.
I think Granny thought an awful lot of Walt.
And then it was.
Well, he must have thought a lot of her, and there probably was a relationship there. But he failed to carry it through.
Yeah.
Because I can remember she was out to Arizona, and then he sent for her to come back. Otherwise, I don't know if she would have come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think then she thought maybe.
Because that's how we met Walt, because he gave us tickets to the Thrashery and mm-hmm. Edgerton and all that stuff.
Well, he only died recently, didn't he? Gosh, I could have found out something from him.
But
he probably wouldn't have told me.
But, we always liked to go to her house because she had a piano. And she had the neat furniture with the legs and the velour furniture and the wooden back.
Mm-hmm.
Real fancy stuff. And she worked at the Giant store. It was a department store in Rockford. She was the manager of the men's department.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd take us girls to work with her for the day. And we'd help her out in her department and everything. And
what fun.
She bought us little bikini panties with zippers. Just, you know, stuff like, we were just like 13 and 14. And she bought us these big frilly like lounging pajamas, the culotte to the floor with big ruffles, remember? Mm-hmm. And, because that's how she was. She just carried herself. Her hair, you know, Sherry's had her hair done. She just carried herself just so, you know.
We all loved her, I think. Yeah. We just, we never knew her before, but she just took to us and we took to her.
Well, I remember.
Well, she was always generous then. Yeah. She was busy giving gifts to you kids and then, making opportunities for you to do things.
See, when did you say she died? Because she was still alive and when I sold Tupperware in
maybe I'd have
1976, and she had a Tupperware party for me out on the farm on Creedy Road, and that's how I met Marge Koff from Chopier and all those people, Angelaries and Marge Koff and her family, because then I had Tupperware parties for them in Chopier, and that would have been in 1976.
Well, then she lived longer than I've got her date written down, and I should have brought all that with me because I had a folder on Esther as well as the story.
Because when I got my first car in 1974, it was a convertible, and I drove it out to the farm to show her. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was 84 when she died rather than 74. Because I recall I had my.
It would have been between 75 and 78 because I was married to my first husband when I went to the when I went to her memorial service because Larry was working nights and I went with you guys. And I got divorced from him in 78. So she would have died between 75 and 78.
Because then my nephew and his wife moved next door where she lived.
Mm-hmm.
And they were there because their son is 22 and he was born there. That would make it 1977.
So she.
If they lived there.
Yeah, because so I can remember.
Before.
Well, if you had Tupperware parties in 76, then she probably died in 76.
I think it had. Mm-hmm.
What did she die of? What happened?
I remember her. She was in the hospital.
In Madison,
and then it was.
Nobody really knew she was
even
in the
just
hospital.
Like she went to the hospital, and that was it. And her. Well, Clifford's, I don't know if her Clifford's family would know.
Yeah, they had, did she have at least one daughter he had?
He had two daughters. One was Shull.
Shull.
Any way we could trace her, do you think?
She was she was my fourth grade teacher out to Townview in Beloit.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if she still lives on the farm on Creedy Road. I heard she, this is a while now, hearsay, but I heard that she had remodeled it all. He did remodel it all for Granny, too.
Yeah, he did.
Just beautiful.
He redid the whole house for her.
Well, how neat that she had some happiness there at the end and a good husband.
We just loved her. I mean, she was just.
Well, everybody did, you know.
Have
you ever heard of a Nellie Kruger?
Nellie Kruger.
Well, when I went to the memorial, it seemed, well, I know Nellie and Wayne Kruger, they're friends from way back, and it seemed like she kind of knew Granny quite well. But
is she still alive?
Oh, yeah, Nellie, yeah. She lives in Orfordville on a farm someplace.
Huh.
Maybe she could.
Nellie Kruger.
Nellie Kruger. I don't know her maiden name, but that's,
and
she's been married.
The husband is Wayne?
Wayne.
So it would be Wayne Kruger in Orfordville, and.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still alive too?
Yeah, they both are. Mm-hmm.
And they were good friends with Esther at her.
Well, it seemed just a little. I talked to Nellie that she knew a little things. You know, she knew Granny. I mean, maybe from way back too.
Uh huh.
Uh huh. And as far as them getting married, I don't know the year, but I know they were married in Rockford, in a small church in Rockford.
Uh huh.
And then we came back to, it used to be Royce High C, and they had a dinner. What's their names?
Baracko Supper Club in South Florida.
And they had a real nice dinner for them.
Uh-huh.
And she knew them too. And then she moved out to Cliffs. And we go out quite a bit.
Yeah. Oh, she named the animals. She had a cow. Named Susie, and she'd go out and feed it with a bottle and Cliff couldn't, he couldn't butcher that one. He had to keep, or whatever they do with it. They had to keep Susie, and Susie was her pet, and she named the chickens, and she had Bucky and Tuffy, the dogs, out there yet, and they ran around. But she always, you know, her
house. She thought the world of those two dogs,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah.
They were her babies.
Yeah.
She fed them liver, and I don't know what
else.
Yeah,
she'd special cook liver on the stove
for those dogs.
They were.
She was just a special person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I got married in 75, she filled my pantry. Flour, all the spices, everything. She just bought the grocery bags of all that stuff for me.
Well, this is Esther. Just
mm-hmm.
tremendously generous.
Yeah.
And it wasn't always her own money back in those early days.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, that was, you know, she would steal money out of the cash box and then put it in the missionary offering at church. And then the Sunday school teacher would say, oh, Esther, you're such a generous girl. Well, that was Esther's reward, to be such a generous girl, you see. And then when she worked at Fannie Mae, she would give Eloise and others candy, and this was when they were older. And Eloise would say, well, you know, how can you do this? And she would say, well, we get a certain allotment from the company. She probably didn't, and yet she would give away the Fannie Mae candy.
Now, did she work at the wagon wheel?
She was a lovely
hostess
at
the wagon wheel. I remember her talking about that.
Yeah. Well, you see, if I'd been quicker on this book, and if I had thought more, I could have talked to Esther, and I could have gotten her story from her point of view.
And see how I ever, I mean, nobody else in the family remembers that she was adopted by your family. Nobody had a clue. I remembered it. And they're like, how do you remember that? I'm like, I don't know.
You remember everything, Sandy.
Because I would have just been a teenager too at the time.
One of the troubles was is that she wasn't adopted.
Mm-hmm.
She was a foster child, and I have all her papers. And what I'd like to find out from the state of Wisconsin is whether Grandpa and Grandma could have adopted her, because her parents are both living, and whether she would have been, whether they would have been allowed to adopt her, or whether they just took her as a foster child. Because I think if they had actually literally adopted her, that they wouldn't have abandoned her. And Grandpa left her when he died in 1949. He left her $5,000 in his will, and Grandma only wanted him to leave $1,000. He said, "Well," she said, "Well, she'll only spend it anyway."
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course she'll only spend it anyway. And but Grandma was not big-hearted. She thought she was, but she wasn't. And they came over to the farm sometimes. We played with Russell some. But I just didn't see as much of Esther as I might have had I been more sensitive myself.
You know, Rusty gave her the memorial service. He gave the talk.
Did he?
Yeah. That's where we first met him then. Isn't that when we first...
Well, we got this before that.
Oh, yes, right.
Because I think when she'd gone out to one of the games that they would have been...
Let me see that again.
In the 70s.
Yeah, everything's kind of in the 70s.
Yeah.
Well, she was just beautiful, and here's Rusty, just as handsome a man as you'd ever see, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that was her pride and joy, Rusty.
Well, I wonder, I really ought to get the story to him. He ought to see it before it's published. Because...
Is his mother still alive?
I don't know. But I wonder, it was the Washington Redskins, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they would still have some sort of...
Is he still with them?
Or if we find him on the...
He was a coach.
I don't think he is anymore.
No, he was a special teams coach after he quit playing.
I'm sure you could find out something.
Well, he may be on the internet, too. I wonder if the Rusty is for Russell. Probably. Rusty Tillman, T-I-L-L-M-A-N. Maybe some of these other people that you're mentioning. What was her name? Nell or?
Nellie?
They might know.
Because I didn't talk to her too much, but it just seemed like she knew Granny.
Uh-huh.
My friend, it used to be Sandy Wozler from Shokir. They lived in Shokir right next to Durst. And her older sister used to clean house for Esther when Esther lived in Shokir.
Uh-huh. Is that sister still alive?
Uh-huh.
You know, if I were just to go into Shokir and start talking to people, they'd probably lead me from one person to the next, and I've just never done that.
But let's see, what's her married name? I gotta think. Oh gosh, thank you, sisters. There's Jane Krebs. She lives in Clinton. No, Jane Krebs lives in Delavan, and Donna. Hahn. Donna and Ronnie Hahn, they live in Clinton. Mm-hmm.
And what's it's Jane one Krebs or something then. My daughter's in Delavan, and that's where I'll be tonight.
Delavan?
Jane Krebs, are we getting that on there? Yeah.
Yes, Krebs.
Well, there might not be a lot of Krebses in Delavan.
I think I'm getting this mixed up. Okay. Donna, it's Donna and Ronnie Krebs in Clinton. Donna and Ronnie Krebs in Clinton. And Jane. I can't think of her name either, but Donna is one of the one sister, and then there's Jane.
Jane's in Delavan, huh?
Jane's in.
Well, Donna would know her sister's name in Delavan.
Well, my friend Sandy would too. I can't think of it right now. But yeah, one of the girls cleaned house for her when she lived in Shokir, and see, she used to live. Sandy told me, I just talked to Sandy last night, she said that Esther lived right around Durst, right next to Durst, and that's where Walter Durst lived, was right next to Durst, because he owned Durst.
Mm-hmm.
And then now Regal Beloit bought it, and that's who I work for.
I've looked over Shokir and tried to figure out where Esther lived and haven't been able to.
And her memorial service is right in the church in Shokir. That church is still there.
I wonder if I would have been out of town, but I wonder if my folks or anybody went of the Dobins. You'd think they would have.
The place was packed. It was like, it was just packed. I remember that.
Well, I know that she was close to my uncle and his wife, and so I would think they would have come. But these are the questions I should have asked. Everybody died, and Dad was getting so forgetful at the end. I wonder if Eloise went, but Eloise didn't mention the memorial service to me. She just mentioned that she donated her body to science.
We had a lot of fun with her.
We always liked to go over to her house.
And she kept a very immaculate house.
Oh, just always. Always. Mm-hmm.
Well, she had to do a whole lot of cleaning and cooking and everything like that when she was working on the farm. Mm-hmm. Eloise said she didn't like to stay overnight at the farm with Esther because Esther had to get up so early at 5 o'clock and
working on breakfast and all these other things for the hired men before she went to school. And Eloise didn't like having, Eloise felt she had to get up too then at that point and help. So she avoided staying overnight at, with her friend Eloise. And I got in the story, at the end I had Eloise saying what she said to me. She said, "I never knew anybody like her. She could look you in the face and tell you that black was white, and you would believe her because you wanted to believe her."
Now the book is going to be just on the granny?
No. There'll be other stories too.
I didn't want to give it to anybody. I don't want anybody to
can I read it?
Yeah.
Give it back?
I don't want to give it to anybody.
Well, why don't I give you one? Thanks for this interview. I've got one in the car.
There wasn't too much that we could tell you.
And, well, you've given me some good information and feelings and names and so forth. Well, the second book, you see, this is all part of the big book, which they may not publish now, although they promised me. But this second book, my editor wants the Esther story in. He left her out of the first book reluctantly, he said. He said because it doesn't fit our focus and there's not the space for that long story. And he said, and so Esther is going to have to be forgotten and passed over like she was forgotten and passed over all her life from our family's side. And so then this new book, when he talked to me, he said, we're going to want the Esther story. And I said, well, more people have spoken to me about that story than anything else. When they talk to me about the book, they say, what happened to Esther? Because I don't tell in the Round Brown book what happens to Esther. And so when I wrote my editor and sent in the manuscript, I said, okay. I said, here's the Esther story. And I said, I don't see any place that we can break it into, say, three stories to make it not so long and to spread it out in the book. I said, once you get going on it, it's a roller coaster. And you have to stay on the roller coaster. And I said, so the problem is going to be we need to have another long story or two, not as long as Esther, but long enough so that the book isn't like Queen Mary surrounded by tugboats. And so I said, we could have, you know, had we known this, we could have saved out the milk rat story, which was a long one, or saved out the vet trip one, catching a cud, which was a long one. But I said, we don't have any that fit just perfectly. But I'm sending you two possibilities one of them you could make it as long as you want it because it's my father's letters. And you can just keep adding letters and letters and letters when you write so well and so interestingly. So that one could be a bunch of that would match the Esther story in length so that you'd have two long stories in the book. And then some medium stories and then a bunch of short stories. But you can't just have the one long story. And the other one is a 1947 diary that he kept. And that would take 20 or 30 pages. But I think we need at least one 20 or 30 page one to match up to balance the Esther story. So that's what's happening.
Yeah, I went there in kindergarten or first grade too. I can remember going to the round barn.
You did?
Yeah.
I've been in some of you kids probably. Yeah, I remember. Chair room or something.
That's what made me read in the paper come to the first meeting I came to.
Well, I'm so glad you did. And how did you make the connection then with Esther?
I just always remembered this. I just remember she was adopted by the family. That's all I remember. Whether, uh-huh. You know, however. That's what I remember. And then I remember going there as a kid. 19. I just don't remember. I didn't remember what time frame it was. I just knew we lived out, it would have been before I was 10 years old because that's when we lived out in Glory.
Yeah. Well, usually if you came with a school class, it would have been a first grade that you came with.
That's what I learned at one of the meetings and that's when I came.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's all we have on the...